JC Corcoran Podcast.
Uh-oh, what's this? What?
Pretty good. You had the big hair thing working back in
there. Oh, it's Trista. Oh, look, Trista's talking to the media.
Could you try to respect your privacy, JC?
Yeah.
Is this one of the things that you would hide from your sweetie, Ryan?
Yeah. She's getting uglier, by the way. Did you notice that? She's not blonde anymore. She's letting her hair get dark.
Yeah.
We tried to have Trista on the air when all this was going on, and they're like, please respect her privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, we're just like a hometown radio station here. We thought that maybe she'd want it. No! She's a private person. Don't call back. Oh, okay, fine.
But this was the network who said that, Trista or any of her family or anything.
Respect her privacy. Respect her privacy. And then I turn on the TV and the Bachelor show, and there she is in a shower rubbing her snatch against a complete stranger.
She knew his name.
She knew his first name. It's like, here, I'll tell you what, I'll put on a bikini with my big plastic fake boobs, and let's put a camera in there, and then let's turn the water on, and then we'll make out in the shower, and I'll just rub all over you, and we'll get my skin nice and glistening, and we'll watch that water just roll down my cleavage, and can we have a phone conversation with, respect your privacy! She's a private person, what's wrong with you? Okay. Sorry.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu.
Tuesday, January 31st, 2023, only 15 more days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. How you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com. A little better start to today than yesterday. What a friggin' mess yesterday. I woke up with a sore throat yesterday, and it got worse and worse and worse. And in the middle of the night, I started coughing and blowing my nose, and I've got something. And it is interesting because this is the first time I've been sick in over 3 years. I got sick right before the pandemic. It was February of 2020, late February, and I was really sick, by the way. I got something. I had the chills and all that sort of stuff, and then that went away. And then, of course, you know, everybody's been running around with an N95 mask for the last, well, most of the last 3 years. And so this is sort of like, oh, I remember this is like, it sucks to be sick. I'll take a COVID test later today just to be extra sure. I never got COVID. I had all the shots and everything and just wanted to be on the safe side. But I think this is just a good old fashioned cold, which is what we used to get back in the day when you could get sick and not be terrified in the process. You see these pictures coming out of Vegas? They got 2 inches of snow on the ground and big ass flakes, by the way, 2 inches on the ground in Las Vegas. It almost never does that. Weather's gone berserk. The entire country is freezing its ass off. It's not just the Midwest and everybody in the St. Louis area. It's all over the country. It is freezing ass cold everywhere, but the state of Florida, where the temperature is well above average. It was 84 degrees here the last 2 days. And I don't do that to rub your nose in it. I'm just telling you because I think it's sort of interesting that 49 states are freezing ass cold and one is even warmer than it's supposed to be. Super Bowl stuff coming out already. We got 2 weeks of this now. Before we get to the Super Bowl, the 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy is going to be sidelined for 6 months. Elbow injury he suffered in that NFC Championship game against the Eagles over the weekend, so he's going to be sitting out. Turns out people think that Super Bowl Sunday is a big deal for football fans and your cat. Somebody polled 2,000 pet owners, and 83% claimed their dog or cat has a favorite sport they like to watch. Football, number one with 40% of the vote. Top five sports pets like to watch are football, soccer, basketball, baseball, and golf. Bowling ranked last. NASCAR was even below that. 68% of the people in the poll describe themselves as sports fans, but 80% think their pet might be an even bigger sports fan than them. 26% also think their pet is a lucky charm when it comes to helping their winning team. Sports aren't the only thing cats and dogs like to watch, though. 69% of their pets like watching TV with them in general. The other top things pets like to watch are cartoons, nature shows, movies, and stand-up comedy. And, of course, you having sex. I added that to the list. There's one of those viral videos that is absolutely hilarious, and it's a big poodle. It's one of those big, what do they call it, a standard poodle? Big poodle. He's got his nose almost up against the TV screen, and the guy hits golf ball, and the dog starts looking to see where the ball went and runs over to the window to see if it went out there. They say poodles are the smartest of all dogs, and I guess in one way that's smart, and of course in another way it's really, really dumb. Depends on whether or not it's your dog. Beer prices are up 11%. You know, it seems to me like when I go to the grocery store, I was noticing, obviously, like everybody else, that the price of everything is going up. But I started really paying attention to it. And it's almost like everything costs a dollar more. Almost everything. I drink cranberry juice every morning because I've had 8 kidney stone attacks. And somebody, this was actually at the Brentwood Forest Pool, somebody told me, hey, George, somebody told me that cranberry juice is supposed to stop you from getting kidney stones. So I was like, hey, I'll try it, because if you've ever had a pass of kidney stone, let alone 8 of them, you're willing to try just about anything. And so cranberry juice, I haven't had a kidney stone attack since I started drinking the damn stuff. But you go to the store, it used to be $5.49 for a big jug. And I love big jugs, by the way. And now it's $6.49. I started looking around and noticing that almost everything seems to cost a dollar more. But at least the stuff is there now, because we had that supply chain issue stuff where it didn't matter how much anything cost because we didn't have it because we're sitting out on a boat. So that's me always looking for the bright side. I don't know if you saw Tom Brady said he lost 15 pounds during and especially right after his divorce. The divorce is one thing, and then to see her down in South America or wherever she is prancing around with some young dude, That's the stuff that makes you lose weight. Turns out Lisa Marie Presley, who knew that the movie about Elvis was going to be featured prominently during award season, the Golden Globes, the Oscars, all this sort of stuff, she wanted to look really, really good on camera. So in the weeks leading up to the Golden Globes, she lost 50 pounds in just a couple of weeks, which is not good for you. You know, the dietitians and the experts, the doctors, the actual medical people will tell you it's not really healthy to lose more than about 2 pounds a week. You can do it, but you open yourself up to lots of other complications. But she lost 50 pounds in just a couple of weeks. It probably didn't help her already fragile situation from all the drug abuse. Now we lost Cindy Williams yesterday. She was 75, so now Laverne and Shirley are both gone. Cindy Williams, a self-described little chub, those are her words. She was really, really fat as a kid and then lost a lot of weight and became really, really skinny. First time everybody saw her was in American Graffiti. And then the two characters, Laverne and Shirley, actually came out of Happy Days. They were in a couple of episodes of Happy Days, and people saw them and said, we got a spinoff. We got a spinoff on this. And it became Laverne and Shirley. Although I thought the two funniest people in Laverne and Shirley were Lenny and Squeaky. That, to me, was the funniest part of the show. Hello! Speaking of physicality, all right, so last night I'm watching Pulp Fiction. I hadn't watched it in a while. It's been running a lot on cable lately. By the way, back in the 90s, and was it 94, I think, was the year that Pulp Fiction came out? I remember being at the screening. We got off the radio in the morning, and they had like an 11 o'clock screening, and there were only about, I don't think there were even 10 people in a big theater. They didn't show it to us in a screening room. They showed it to us in a like the Esquire or something, but we were like the only ones in it, like 10 people. Nobody was sitting together for whatever reason. Nobody sat together. Everybody sat in their own place. But I remember how hard everybody was laughing, not only at the stuff that was supposed to be, you know, was intended to be funny, but also at the outrageous nature of the stuff that was going on. We are laughing in places maybe we shouldn't have been laughing, but it was almost like releasing nervous energy. I mean, John Travolta says, I don't think Buddy Holly is much of a waiter. God. And then they're doing the dancing, and, you know, to see Travolta dance was such a big deal, you know. And they did a little bit of the twist, a little bit of the swim. But we did that Batman thing. People were like, oh, my God, he's doing the Batman thing. But I remember telling people, and I've told this story on the air a number of times, that when I interviewed Uma Thurman, she was so pretty and she was so nice. She was the sweetest thing ever. But, you know, they seat us very, very close to one another, facing one another. And I'm just sitting there and I couldn't help but notice the length of her feet. Her feet were like she was wearing skis. And I just kept looking down like, holy crap. Now, again, she's tall. She's either close to 6 feet or 6 feet. She didn't stand during the interview. She was sitting the whole time, so I didn't really notice the height. But she's sort of gangly, you know, the way she's built. But those feet. So last night, I'm watching Pulp Fiction, and it's the dance scene. And I noticed, so I froze the frame of the shot with her and her bare feet. She's dancing. And it's not my imagination. You can check for yourself. I put the picture up on my Facebook page, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. I know what they say about guys with big feet. I don't know what the correlation is in the human anatomy for women when they have big feet. And also, when John Travolta takes Uma Thurman's character back home after the series of tragedies, she does make the remark, you know, he says, I heard you did a pilot. And she's like, yeah, the Fox Force 5. So that was my 15 minutes. And it occurred to me when Andy Warhol said that, I wonder if that was something that he actually sat there and thought about for a long time and then crafted and decided to say it publicly. Or if he was getting out of a cab or something and somebody yelled something to him about the future and he just said, yeah, everybody will be famous for 15 minutes. I don't know. All I do know is he made that remark back in the 1970s and people are still using it now. But it's fascinating how just a little utterance like that becomes part of our whole culture, the whole idea of being famous for 15 minutes. Interesting things happen at screenings, though. I've told the story before about when we all saw When Harry Met Sally, and the studio had absolutely no idea that this movie was going to be a big hit. They were in shock when we came out of that screening. That was done in Vancouver, British Columbia. I still remember it because they piggybacked it on the end of one of the Lethal Weapon movies. So I had just interviewed Danny Glover and Mel Gibson, and they're like, back in the cab, and we go back to the theater, and now we're seeing When Harry Met Sally, and all we knew was that it was a Rob Reiner movie. We didn't know too much more about it. It was almost sort of a last-minute thing, and of course, we're just dying coming out of the theater, and the studios got this look. Their eyes were as big as pie plates as they were watching it, but we had the advantage of seeing it without warning. See, because by the time we come back home from these screenings and these junkets to California and New York, you know, we're always yakking about, oh my God, there's stuff in this movie. What do you see? This Billy Crystal does this, and there's this blonde by the name of Meg Ryan, and on and on. So you're sort of prepared. It's sort of like when we saw Saving Private Ryan. Nobody had any idea what we were about to see. And after that first 22 minutes, you could hear a pin drop in that screening room. And so, of course, we come back to our home cities and say, you're not going to believe the first 25 minutes of this movie. So at least you knew it was coming. We didn't know it was coming. I remember there was this, believe it or not, there was a similar response. And again, this is movie critics that come into Los Angeles from all over the country. And we congregate in there. We used to do this. And there was a similar reaction to the movie Showgirls. We got on the bus and we're all looking at each other like, what the hell did we just see? Was that good or was that bad or was it something else? You know, really, that's the best way to describe it. It's like, what the hell did we just see? And of course, the next day you got to get up and, you know, write all your questions down and get ready to do the interviews. And you're like, what the hell do I say? But Elizabeth Berkley, she was a pistol, man. I'm telling you, she was really enjoying the observing the discomfort of the men who were coming in to interview her after having just, you know, 12 hours earlier seen almost a gynecological depiction of her character, which is more than her character. It's her, too. I don't know if that makes any sense, but made sense to me at the time. So I remember this, still remember this from the cover of Life magazine. It was 62 years ago today, 1961. Ham the Chimp. Ham the Chimp. They just wanted to make sure that the closest mammal that we have in the animal kingdom, closest thing we have to a human being, is a chimpanzee. So they're like, hey, Ham, you're going to take a ride. So they stuffed him into the capsule and they shot him 157 miles straight up and came back down. It was about a 15-minute flight. His capsule was recovered from the ocean. That was his only flight. Ham lived the rest of his life in a cushy zoo, and Alan Shepard went into space 3 months after that. And we talked about this before, too. Alan Shepard, straight up, straight down. Gus Grissom, straight up, straight down. John Glenn was the one with the balls because they were like, okay, we've gone straight up and straight down. Now we're going to go around three times and then try to bring you down. I would not have wanted to be the guy to do that, but John Glenn did it. 1990 on this date, you remember seeing this on the news, the first McDonald's opened in the Soviet Union. Actually, technically at that point, it wasn't the Soviet Union anymore. It was just Russia. And we were there only, what, a couple of months later doing our shows from Moscow at the McDonald's there. I wish I could take that trip now. I'd have a much greater appreciation for it now than when it happened back in 1990. It's too cold to worry about this now, but something to put in the back of your head. A study found that breathing in truck exhaust while you're sitting in traffic for as little as 2 hours can make you dumber, at least temporarily. Doctors used to think air pollution didn't affect our brains very much, at least not right away, but authors of the study say it clearly does, and it happens quickly. 2 hours of sitting in traffic could have a noticeable effect on brain power short term, and it might cause ongoing issues if you're exposed to fumes every day. The good news is you can do something about it. Keep your windows rolled up and make sure your cabin air filter isn't too old. Still paying off the bills from Christmas, and here comes another expenditure. Valentine's Day, Americans will spend about $192 each on Valentine's Day. About two-thirds of that is for their significant other. The rest includes gifts for pets, friends, and coworkers. Did you grow up in a dirty house? We were at somebody's house recently, and it was a sty. And I'm thinking to myself, is that because when you were young, you lived in a dirty house? Or was it because you lived in a clean house and you're like, I'm never going through that again? Because we all know, you know, if it wasn't our own families, you had somebody in your family or one of your friends or something where, you know, you had to take off your shoes before you came in the house. And they had those plastic covers over the furniture in the living room. And the house was so damn clean and tidy, it looked like they were showing it. So it's hard to say how you end up with, you know, somebody living in a dirty house. All I know is this. 39% of people say their current home is cleaner than the home they grew up in as a kid. And 40% of people say their mood is greatly affected by the cleanliness of their home. You can pretend that you don't recognize the name Ron Jeremy, but I know that you do. And his dementia is so advanced that he thinks he's shooting a porno right now at the psychiatric facility where he's staying. Ron Jeremy recently declared unfit to stand trial on dozens of sex abuse and rape charges. Bush Light released its Super Bowl ad 2 weeks early. It features Sarah McLachlan spoofing those commercials she used to do for pet adoptions. Oh, I'm sure they're going to be really happy about that. Elton John's Farewell Yellow Brick Road Tour, highest grossing tour of all time, $817.9 million so far, and it's not even over until July. Oprah celebrated her 69th birthday on Saturday. Let's see who was on the guest list. Jennifer Lopez, Kim Kardashian, Sofia Vergara, Jessica Alba, Sharon Stone, Priyanka Chopra, other celebrities too. Martha Stewart's 81 years old, and she says, I look this good, and I've never had a facelift, I've never used any fillers, I don't believe in any of that stuff, And there are people who are putting pictures side by side of the old Martha Stewart and the current Martha Stewart who are saying she's full of shit. She absolutely has had work done. All right, on Netflix today, Pamela, A Love Story, if you want some more of that. Late Night Tonight, Dave Bautista, Sarah Michelle Gellar, and Brian Adams on with Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Kimmel's got Pamela Anderson and Michael Lindell. Oh, Jesus. Colbert, Jessica Chastain, Now We're Talking. James Corden, Sally Field, Scott Conn, and Måneskin. That band is amazing. They broke into the music business about, what, 6 months ago with that old Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons song. And they did it on Saturday Night Live. And it was like, holy shit, the energy that they put into their performance. They're all weird as fuck, by the way. They're all dressed weird and they got weird haircuts and piercings and all sorts of it looks like a freak show up there, but man, can that band perform. They were on with Jimmy Fallon the other night and did it again. I don't think I'd want to go backstage for a Måneskin show, but it's certainly a spectacle. Let's leave it at that. Terry Crews on with Seth Meyers. Jay Leno's been making jokes, which is what he does. And he's under fire now because people are mad because he said that he, because he had a motorcycle crash the other day and he said he crashed into Jeremy Renner's snowplow. All right. I mean, if Jeremy Renner was going to die or if he was on life support, okay, you don't tell that joke, but he's going to be okay. And he's joking about it himself. So everybody take it easy. Tim Allen says that he and everybody at ABC and Disney are very disappointed over the fact that Pamela Anderson's been saying that she was flashed by Tim Allen back in the day. Kelly Ripa is 52 years old, but she and her husband, Mark Consuelos, who is a pretty damned hot-looking guy, if I don't mind saying so, and she still looks good, although she's way, way too bony for me. You know, when a woman is wearing a dress, I don't think it should look like it's still on the hanger. Let's put it that way. But these two go at one another like two 16-year-olds who just got laid for the first time and are like, that was cool, let's do it again. That was cool, let's do it again. That was cool, let's do it again. And I got a 21-year-old daughter now, and she's making it a point to tell everybody, like, oh, yeah, we've told her, always knock on the door before you enter our bedroom because you never know what could be going on. Okay, we get it. You're in your 50s. You're still having sex. SZA has the number one album in the country. She is from St. Louis. And I'm not going to play the whole thing. I'm telling you, she did that song parody on Saturday Night Live called Big Boy. I wish it was a real song because I would download it and play it for myself. It's fantastic.
Winter has arrived, y'all.
Temperatures dropping.
And you know what that means.
It's cuffing season.
That time of year when we find a man to keep us warm through these cold months.
But not just any man will do.
That's right. We out here looking for some
big boys.
It's cuffing season. Now we got a reason to get a big boy. I need a big boy. Give me a big boy. It's cuffing season. All the girls are leaving to get a big boy. I need a big boy. I want a big boy.
I need a big boy with polar bear arms. Keeps me warm in the winter snowstorm. When chill is biting, but his jacket's unzipped. He bring in my groceries in just one trip.
Till the sun comes back, I need a big boy hottie. Makes his own heat with his big boy body. For the next 3 months, skinny boys is dead. Forget a six pack, I need the whole damn keg.
Big boy with a big old back. A California king refrigerator stack. With steaks on steaks on steaks on steaks on steaks. Butter, bacon, cheese, and lasagna in the tray.
Need an enormous man with an enormous stand. Feeds me snacks with his enormous hands. And I hope he asks me to be his winter wife. Cause messing with a big boy will change your life.
It's cuffing season. All the girls be needing. Need a big boy. I want a big boy.
I'm telling you, that's better than half the real songs that are out there. And that's a song parody. That's about the only way I can take rap, by the way, if it's either Eminem or it's somebody sort of making fun of rap. Although really when it comes down to it, I think a lot of what Eminem is doing is intended to be funny anyhow. It clearly is, because you can see it in the videos. Well, this looks like a job for me. All right, birthdays today. Marcus Mumford from Mumford and Sons. He's the lead singer, 36. Justin Timberlake, 42. Bobby Moynihan, formerly of Saturday Night Live. He used to love that character. Actually, two of them, Drunk Uncle, and then I think it was like Vinny something, the guy who had all the rumors wrong. God, that was a funny character. Bobby Moynihan is 46. Kerry Washington from Scandal, 46. Portia de Rossi is 50 today. I wonder what Ellen will get her. Minnie Driver, 53. Anthony LaPaglia in one of the best movies ever made with a Christmas theme. It's called 29th Street. It's one of my all-time favorite movies, and almost nobody knows about it. Almost nobody has heard of it. In fact, Anthony LaPaglia was the producer's first choice to be Tony Soprano, but he turned it down, and so James Gandolfini did it, and the rest is history. Anthony LaPaglia, 64 today. Johnny Rotten, the Sex Pistols, 67. Harry Casey, as in Casey and the Sunshine Band, 72. Nolan Ryan, 7 no-hitters, 7. And that longevity, and there were still sports writers who did not vote for him on the first ballot when he was eligible for the Hall of Fame. During the 80s and 90s, when we were dealing with VCRs, I remember reading a story once about the fact that there were only two companies manufacturing VCRs. It was like Panasonic and Motorola or something, and they would just put a different shell on the outside of the machine. So you might buy, you know, a VCR that said it was made by, you know, Zenith or something, but it didn't matter because all of the guts of the machine were actually cranked out by only two companies. So it didn't really matter which one you were buying for the most part. And now it turns out most microwaves sold in the United States are made by one Chinese company. It's called Midea, M-I-D-E-A. They provide microwaves for Toshiba, Black & Decker, GE, Whirlpool, Insignia, and more. LG and Samsung make their own microwaves, as does Panasonic, but Panasonic does have budget models made by this Midea company, and it's been that way for a very long time. Moral of the story, buy what's on sale. I forget where this story is from. I edited it and edited that part out of it. But some 66-year-old cafeteria worker stole $1.5 million worth of chicken wings. She ordered the wings but didn't take them to the school, and she was caught because the school doesn't serve chicken wings because of the bones. And our United States Surgeon General says he thinks 13 is too young to join social media, even though that's the minimum age for the apps. He said the kids should wait until they're 16 to 18. Yeah, well, good luck. And I wasn't going to use this today, but I want to hear this. We're going to hear this together. We're going to hear this together because they say that this dog is talking. They say that the dog is saying, "Where are you going?" Wait a minute. Hear that again. Hold on. The woman is picking up her purse, and here comes the dog. The dog is saying, "Where are you going?" I heard it clear as day, and so did you. Oh, there's an old joke. This sounds like one of those Frank Opinion jokes. And sometimes I will do that because he and I have made peace. And so sometimes he claims to know every joke that's ever been told. So sometimes I will think of a joke. I'll go, "He doesn't know this one." You know, and I will call him up and tell him the first part of the joke and then just leave him hanging. And he will call back and then he'll have the punchline to the joke. I haven't stumped him yet. It's like trying to stump Bob Costas about sports. I thought I really had Bob a couple of years ago because the chief cinematographer on the movie The Natural was a guy by the name of Caleb Deschanel. And I was working on the set of The Natural in Buffalo, New York, where they shot the movie. And so I would see this guy every day. And the name sort of stuck with me because how weird is a name like that? First of all, Caleb, and then Deschanel. And sure enough, he had a couple of kids, and it turned out to be the Deschanel girls, as in, you know, Zoe. And I thought I had him, and I ran that past him, and he was like, "Oh, yeah, the Deschanel girls." I'm like, "God, jeez." Well, the joke goes like this. A guy, and you have to sort of almost picture like 1930s or 40s, you know, like vaudeville or something like that. And he goes into a talent agent and says, I got a dog that talks. And the talent agent says, yeah, bullshit, you don't have a dog. He goes, no, I do. Watch. He goes, hey, Rover, come here. That gravel driveway out there, what is it? And the dog goes, ruff. Good boy, good boy. What's on the top of your house? And the dog goes, roof. And the talent agent is like, get you and your dog and get out. And he goes, no, 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 wait, wait, wait. One more. He goes, Rover, who's the greatest baseball player of all time? And the dog says, Ruth. And the talent agent takes them both and just shoves them out of the office, out of the street. So the guy and the dog are standing there out there on the street. The dog looks up at the guy. The guy looks down at the dog and says, well, you really blew that. And the dog looks up and says, what'd you want me to say, DiMaggio? I'm so ashamed. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Tuesday, January 31st, 2023 is in the can. 15 days until those beautifully manicured baseball fields right down the street from me are populated with human beings in baseball uniforms playing ball. Spring training is right around the corner. We are here every weekday morning right about this time at jcontheline.com. I got a Facebook page, The Showgram, with J.C. Corcoran. You may email me if you got a question or something like that. JC@JCOnTheLine.com. Spread the word that we're here every day. The podcast, by the way, is going to be moving to a little bit later on in the morning. Same great podcast, same great taste, but I don't want to be competing against myself when the new radio station kicks off, and that's going to be probably within 2 weeks. And I know there have been false alarms before, and I really apologize for that. I'll explain all of that down the line somewhere, but it looks like we're ready to go. If you go to the frequency that we're going to be heard on, you won't find anything. Because it hasn't been turned on yet. But as I said, sometime within the next 2 weeks, at 101.5 on your radio dial in St. Louis County, in addition to 101.7 for those of you out in the Westplex, that's where we're going to be operating this thing. So it'll be the same station, same music, same radio personalities on dual frequencies, depending on where you are. If you're in the Westplex, you'll listen to me and the rest of the great radio station at 101.7. And in St. Louis County, you'll hear it at 101.5. And then we're going to have an app for those of you who have reception issues, and you'll be able to listen to the radio station on the app, which is interesting because outside of cars, people are only listening to the radio on actual radios. That's about 44%. The majority of people now, unless you're talking about a car, the majority of people are listening to radio stations either on their phone or an app or Alexa or something like that. So you'll have three big ways to listen. In the meantime, I'm going to gargle something here and see if we can get rid of this sore throat and all this congestion. And we'll talk to you again in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.